Hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you and I thank you for taking a wretched thing like me out of the mire of clay and sin. You establish your law in my heart, Father. And for that you are well very grateful. I'm eternally thankful unto you for doing just that. For what am I but a piece of dirt, a worm on the earth, and yet you saw us all by name, and you call us by name. And I bless you, Father. I thank you for that. And you have given us assurance in the hope of Yeshua, Messiah. For he is anointed of you, Father. We bless you for that tonight. Bless each one tonight. Bless the ears to hear the truth, I pray. In Messiah's name. Bless your servant tonight that he may speak with the anointing from above. We bless you for all things in Messiah's wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor and say, are you for real? Are you for real? You may be seated. As the old saints will say, the word shall find you out. And in the preaching, the precepts, and the concepts of your way, it will literally and actually show us the very intent, the motive, and the purpose of our own hearts. It will reveal every dark secret. Everything shall be exposed in us. And this is the process of Yahweh to identify those iniquities and the things that must be cleansed by His mercy and by His truth. I'm grateful for the opportunity to come into His presence. And I can call my Father by His name. Not by some pagan identity. It is pagan because the heathens have taken that precious name of Yahweh and translated it into a language that is acceptable unto all people. But His name is not acceptable unto all people. Neither is the name of His Son. For they reject that. They reject that. And there is no pure love for the things of Yahweh. We have the great sensual, and that's what they are today, battles. I was listening the other day, and the African-American clergymen, they are warning the African-Americans not to set aside Christmas for Kwanzaa. And they both are pagan. They both have no significance at all. And the Caucasian preachers are saying that we cannot totally take out these wonderful carols that exalt this pagan season from the schools, from our children. They must be exalted above all things in this hour. And it's all pagan. Has nothing to do with Almighty Yahweh. There is only one thing that reveals the strength and the power of the Father, and that is His truth. It is the truth of Yahweh that breaks every shackle and makes us free. And the power of His truth is that He has given us a record because it is written. It has been recorded. It has been written down on the parchment, on scrolls. And it has endured certain corruptions that man has tried to change, to intervene, or to dictate what Yahweh intends for us to know and understand. And yet through the very corruption of time and the hands of man, He has by His Spirit, and we must have the Spirit of Yahweh, reveal unto His house what Scripture is. And Scripture is inspired by Almighty Yahweh. Not every word, but Scripture is. And every word in Scripture is inspired by Yahweh. That is the difference, brothers and sisters. We're not like many that corrupt. And there are many that are corrupting what we call the word today. I want to establish something tonight. Because there are things that are written that are not written in this book. And as I was studying other day and today, I came across something that was very intriguing. And the only place I could find the answer to this, it was not in the book. I will show you. But first of all, I want to establish something in this hour, because we must, saints, we must seek out the profoundness of Yahweh's truth. And we're not going to find it in philosophies. We're not going to find it in education. We're going to find it only with the pure hearts. Our spirits being changed from this corrupt nature, and our hearts being washed and cleansed by the blood of Yahshua Messiah. We're not going to find it in things. You're not going to find it in family, friends, or those things. You're not going to find it in homes and material things. You can't find it that way. It can only be searched out by the Spirit. And you must have the Spirit in order to receive truth. That's why many today cannot acknowledge truth, because there is no true spirit in their hearts, none whatsoever. Scripture says in Amos, chapter 8, verse 11. I want to show you what is transpiring in this hour. We must know what is written in this hour today, saints. We must. There must be a voice of prophecy by prophetic utterance of Yahweh. Well, what is prophecy or that prophetic utterance? The prophecy of Yahweh is the profound expression of Yahweh by His Spirit unto man, whether he is a wicked man or a righteous man, to understand the plan and the will of the Father, that it may be reinforced in our hearts, that we may know that Yahweh has spoken unto us. We must have that in this hour. For Messiah is the spirit of prophecy. And when Messiah or that anointing is not in the midst, then we have the same old humdrum and cauldron of sin that we continuously to flirt with. We find ourselves in those places that we ought not to be. But Scripture tells us this in Amos, chapter 8, verse 11. The prophecy says, "Behold, the day cometh, saith Almighty Yahweh." This was not Amos speaking. It was by the profoundness of the prophetic spirit. He said, "Yahweh says, the day cometh, that I will send a famine, a great hunger in the land." He said, "Not will be a famine of bread, because man is eating bread with his gluttonous spirit today. He is consuming it. The carbohydrate diets and all kinds of diets and things they're consuming." He said, "It will not be for bread. For this is a bread basket, what they call America. So it will not be for bread, nor will it be for the thirst of water." Every kind of law and regulation on water, that they are telling you that everything is pristine, and that is not so. But Yahweh said it will be but for the hearing of the words of Almighty Yahweh. Do you hear that? Shaul even said, "How can they that don't even believe," and this is the generation that does not believe, "how can they call on Him in whom they don't even believe in?" Now, they believe in gods, in mystic powers and spirits, but they don't hear what Yahweh is speaking unto the house today. "And how can they, not even knowing Him, believe on Him whom they have never even heard?" Man is not hearing from Yahweh today. He's hearing from all kinds of spirits and traditional spirits. "And how can ye hear," He said, "unless you have a preacher? Unless one bear the bread of Yahweh and brings it forth by that unction and that anointing, how?" And Amos said, "The famine shall come. It will not be for the natural, physical, literal things, but it will be for a word to strengthen the inward parts of a man's soul." It's a great battle today, and the inward parts of man that is not being strengthened today. Because they're feeding the men today the things that satisfy the flesh. They're giving them natural things, how you can become rich, how you can have much, how God wants you to be successful, how God wants you to be blessed, how God wants you to have a good Christmas. What God are they talking about? Is that the same one that we know? Or is it the same one that you worship? When they tell you God wants you to have a Merry Christmas, and God wants you to celebrate Christmas, and God wants you to honor Easter, what is the God's name that they are talking about? He's pagan. He's from the power of hell. He is Shaitan. He is the God of this earth. And he draw men unto perdition. And that is the truth. So the hour is coming where there shall be a great famine. But this is the devastating part here, the next verse. He said, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north, east, even to east and west. He said, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yahweh, and shall not find it. Well, Pastor Roberts, that's a prophecy of the old covenant. We are a very foolish generation. He said they're not going to find it. He said they're not going to find it. They're running from here to there, from this whorehouse to the next one, and they're not finding the truth today. He said they shall not find the truth. When a man truly finds the truth, it breaks the shackles of sin and bondage off that man's mind, his spirit. That is what it does. And they are running here and there. They are looking at the characteristics of men, what they say, their eloquent speech, and they are still not finding the truth now. His law is the truth, saints. The law of Yahweh is the truth. That's why he has written them in your hearts. It is the truth, and the prophets prophesy concerning the great power of the righteous law of Yahweh. And they cannot find the truth. They're seeking. They're running to and fro, he said, and they shall not find it. He did not say they shall find it. But there's a possibility that it shall be found. He said, and they shall not. He said, they shall not. Scripture says, and they shall not find it. They're not finding truth today. They're not finding truth nowhere today. Truth can't be found today. It cannot. They can't find it. And they're looking everywhere, but they're not finding truth. That's why we have a nation like this nation, that the entire nation is under the power of this pagan spirit. And is promoted by the pagan whore or these pagan daughters of this Jezebel called the church. And they strengthen the hand of hell. They strengthen the power of darkness. They bring them into greater bondage. They promise them liberty. And then we will be brought under great bondage during this pagan season. You tell me that's the liberty of Yahweh? That's not his truth. It is pagan. It is a lie from hell. And these whorehouses are espousing these pagan lies and rituals. And that is why they deject and reject the true name of the Father. Because it's not pagan. And these pagan whorehouses are not going to let their true name in the midst. And these pagan tabernacles, people with pagan minds, are not going to allow that true name to fill their hearts. And that's the truth, saints. Everything in that book you have is not written. I will show us something tonight. I will establish the power of this truth. That men are going to seek it, and they are not going to find it. He says, Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13. I want to establish this, that I may go in the direction that I need to. It says in the 13th verse of the 7th chapter, this is Yahshua Messiah speaking. He told us to enter in at the straight gate, the gate of truth, where the righteous law of Yahweh is. You must understand that when men entered into Jerusalem, they had to abandon their pagan laws, and they had to dishevel themselves of certain things. It could not come into the city, especially on the Shabbat. Those things had to be abandoned. And so as we enter into the gate of the city of Yahweh, we must enter into that straight gate. Our hearts must be sincere. The motive must be pure. And our desire must be pure, saints of Yahweh. He warns us, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And he said that there are many there that go therein. That many there be which go therein. Many. He said many are going in at that wide gate. Look at this, saints. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Only a few is going to find the truth, saints. Only a few is going to find the truth. It's not your daddy, not your mother, not your grandmother. It's those that Yahweh has called and elected by his plan, by his mighty mercies that he has expressed unto a house. Few are going to find it, saints. Amos, you all said they're going to run to and fro seeking for the truth. And the truth will lead you into the presence of the mighty one that created you. Not some God or some Lord. It will lead you into the presence of Almighty Yahweh, that we may fall before him and cry out in deep concentration or deep conviction of prayer. Few that find it, and the truth they shall not find it. This is a pagan generation. The mindset is pagan. They can't find the truth. They go from whorehouse to whorehouse, and they still cannot find it. It is one thing that the truth does. It reveals every insidious wicked thing in you. It shows you your rebelliousness, your sins, your corruption, that you may fall prostrate before Yahweh and begin to cry out and pray. And they are trying to find something that is relevant unto them, that they don't have to do the commands and the laws of Yahweh, that they can do things the way they want to. But that's not truth. That's tradition and bondage. Truth gives you that liberty to cry out and to bless the Father. That's what truth does. These whorehouses don't have truth today. When they deny the command of Yahweh to remember the Shabbat and keep it clean and sacred, and they gather on their sun worship day, it all has to do with the God and the power of that God. Every day of the week is named after a God. The months are all named after gods. And you can find out this information. It is so relative, easy to acquire. And we are that ignorant, we can't see those things. They're all named after gods. Greek mythology and gods of the underworld. Every last one of them. And this is a gullible nation. It's full of bread. The bread of sin, the bread of idleness, the bread of folly. But they're not seeking truth. And Yahweh say the thirst is going to fill the land. That's why you better be like the five wise virgins. You better put oil in your vessel. You're not going to have enough for your mom or your daddy. You're not going to have enough for your son or your daughter. You're not going to have enough for your wife or your husband. You're going to have just enough to make it in. You're not going to save daddy or mama. You're not going to save cousin or aunt. You're going to only save yourself from this untoward generation. You got to take your lamp, which is the law of Almighty Yahweh. That is the lamp that we need today. And we need light in our lamp. That is the commandment of Almighty Yahweh. You got to put oil in your lamp. And it's not going to come by your physical attachment or your physical mind. It's going to come by the way and the power of the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. You're going to need something for this journey. You're going to have the light shining before you to find this truth. You're not going to find this truth in darkness. You're not going to find this truth with your heart designed darkness and the dark, seductive ways of the flesh. You're not going to find it. And that's what they're going to seek. And they shall not be able to find it. Men are seeking today and they can't find it. They can't find the true identity of the Father. Don't tell me he has no name. He has a name. It is not a pagan name. They hate it because they're pagans. That's why they despise it, because they are pagans. His name is a pure name. Name of reverence. Name of might and power. And he did not allow man to change his name. His name is eternal. And in the kingdom, we're going to call him Yahweh. We're going to call him by his name because he cannot change. If he change or his name change, he's a liar. He is Almighty Yahweh. He changed not. So if his name's changed, he's a liar. And if his name has changed from the old covenant to the new, then he's still a liar. And he is not a liar. He cannot lie like man. So his name shall be Yahweh in the kingdom throughout eternity. That's the truth. He never changed. That's why we sons of Yaakov are not consumed. That's why in all of our folly we're not consumed. He has spared us. He has. Now is this written in the text? Is this written? Do you think it's important? It is vitally important. It is vitally important to know what is written. It is vitally important to know Scripture. It is vitally important to know Scripture. It is. Now we'll read this in Revelation chapter 1 verse 3. Now this is written. And we believe that everything that Yahweh has said to us is written in this book. I don't believe that. I know it's not. I know what man's hand has done with this book. They utter a king, dead King James, more than they utter the king that has arise. The king that has risen. 3 days he got up. King James is still in the grave. Messiah, after 3 days he got up. And they will defend KJV more than they will defend Yahshua. They will not even defend Jesus. And that's the truth. And their pagan lies, the hypocrisy, these whorehouses have taught us paganism. We can say it hasn't, but it has. It's taught us all kinds of pagan things and pagan worship and pagan ways. Scripture says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 3. I want to establish this because there are some things I want to read that are written. Scripture says, Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy. Now I know that many will think that that is simply just that book of Revelation. But the whole book is a book of prophecy. For Yahshua, Messiah, is the spirit of prophecy. He said, blessed are those that hear the words of this prophecy. And he said, and keep those things which are what? Now we must keep the things that are written. Where? Therein. For the time is what? The time is at hand. So if it's written, we ought not to keep those things. Those things that are written, we ought not to keep them. That's what Scripture says. We can reject that, but it's what Scripture says. His name is a written name. We must keep the honor of His mighty name. That Scripture, blessed are those that keep the things that are written in the prophecy. And the whole book is a prophecy. Holy men, as the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon them, they prophesied. They spoke the declaration of Yahweh to reveal unto man His purpose, His will, and His desire. Now that's what prophecy is, and it foretold the things that are coming. Is not this telling us a foretelling of what is about to come to pass? Did not Jeremiah tell us that the Messiah would come? Was that not a foretelling? Did not Ezekiel and Amos, Yah, and all the prophets foretell of this mighty event that will come? Is that not prophecy? Is it not written in the book? So the book is a book of prophecy. So it's written. We must keep what is written in the book. What is written by the command, the law, and the Spirit of Yahweh. When He places His righteous hand upon it, He has a righteous law over it. And the law of His Spirit governs it. So if it's written in the book, then we are blessed if we keep it and obey what is written. That's why He has written things down. Because we have such difficulty in hearing. Our traditions won't allow us to hear. Our flesh, our ethnicity, our race, our gender will not allow us to hear. Our pride, our arrogance, our haughtiness will not allow us to hear. And that's why He has written it in the book that you will be without an excuse. So what I've read so far is written. You're not going to have any excuse before Yahweh. What is written, it is recorded. And once Yahweh has recorded it, it is established. That's why He has written the law in our heart. And the law is established in us. He's not going to do away with the law. Messiah did not come to destroy it. He just put it in a place whereby the powers of hell could not reach there. As long as He is our hedge. He wrote it in our hearts and our inward parts, what He did. He has placed His righteous power to govern us in our inward parts. He has not allowed your flesh to destroy that. Even in your wickedness, you know there's a righteous law. You know when you're doing wrong. Even when you're doing wrong, when you're not even walking right, you know when you're doing wrong. Even the wicked know when they're doing wrong. Their minds become so seared they cannot recognize it. But yet you always are not allowed your mind to become seared, whereby your conscience cannot recognize or speak to you that you are in error. I don't want that to be. I don't want your way to leave me like that, whereby my conscience is not aware of what He is doing. It is written. I'm going to read something tonight because I searched a scripture out today. I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 11. What a profound statement here. It says, the only way you want to find things out, you must seek and search. And men today, they are not truly searching for the truth. They will not buy the truth. They don't want to enter into the straight and the narrow gate because they don't find many there. On the Broadway, you find all kinds of religions there. They all got one common denominator, and that is God. You can be a Muslim, they all call Him God. Allah Akbar. We was walking up the street of the day, and I had on one of these and a hat on, and the young man said to me, are you all Muslims? I said, no, we are not. I said to him, are you a Muslim? He said, well, I believe in the tenets of the Muslim faith. I say, what is that? We believe that there is only one true God. Now, what is your God's name? What is the law and the power of His covenant that He established with man? He must sign and seal that with His name. No covenant can be established without a name. We can sit like fools and ignorant. That's right. No covenant can be established without a name. Now let me take you to something that is so simple that you may understand with all of our high polluted education, our high polluted minds. How can a man marry a woman? Is that a covenant? Sure it is. Do they both have names? Do they both have to give their names? Sure they must. So no covenant is established without the name. And Yahweh cannot establish any covenant with Israel without His name signing the covenant. Everything that He did, He signed His name and said, the covenant is established with my people. This is an ignorant, stupid generation. The covenant of this love of Yahweh could never be established without the seal signed name of Messiah. I come in the Father's name as authority, and I sign His name because I'm in that name. It is the power of Yahweh because I am the Yahshak of Yahweh, and the salvation and the hope of Yahweh. So His covenant is signed by His name. It is sealed by His name. You can never have that without the name. No covenant. Can you have a contract without names? You can never have a contract without names. Do we have a contract with Him? We espouse unto Him. And if we are His bride, we know our bridegroom. I want to read something. You're in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 verse 13. It says, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and his prayer unto Yahweh, and the words of the seers that spoke to him in the name of Yahweh, the Father or Elohim of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. I searched that out. I can't find that written. 2 Chronicles 33:18. I do apologize. Second Chronicles 33:18. I'll read that again. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto Yahweh, I read every kind of search I could, but I couldn't find the prayer. It says that, and the words of the seers that spoke to him in the name of Yahweh, the father of Israel, he said, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. I searched First King, and his name is mentioned five times in First Kings. I searched Second Kings, and his name is mentioned 40 times in Second Kings, but no prayer. No prayer. No prayer. If Yahweh said this is written, that it is important unto us to understand and to know what prayer that man prayed. I want to know what he prayed. We are a very lazy generation. Our hearts are so filled with surfeiting and lust. We don't press beyond the limitation of our corrupt hearts, saints. And we must do that. Now to me, that's very valuable. The prayer of Manasseh. He prayed a prayer unto Yahweh. And it said in verse 19, and his prayer also, and how El was intrigued of him, and all his sins and his trespasses, in the place where he built high places and set groves and graven images before was humble. Behold, they are written among the sayers of the seers, of those that prophesy and saw. I want to understand the importance of that prayer of Manasseh. I'm going to read that prayer because I found it. I found it. No, it's not in 2 Kings or 1 Kings. It's not in Chronicles or anywhere else. But it is written in the Apocrypha. It is there. His prayer is there. And the scripture said it was written. And so it is written. Now I'm going to read the prayer. Now you tell me whether the Spirit of Yahweh is in this prayer. We are a very trifling generation. We don't seek truth. That's why he said, I was going to come, they're going to seek it, and they're not going to find it. I believe we need the same spirit of prayer that Manasseh prayed. Unto Almighty Yahweh, I'm going to read it to you. This is what it says. I'm going to read it to you, and this is what the prayer says. It says, O Yahweh, Almighty Elohim. I'm going to read it in the context it is in the Apocrypha. Now I'm going to replace Yahweh. I'm going to replace God with Yahweh. He says, O Yahweh, Almighty Elohim of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of their righteous seed, who has made the heavens and the earth, with all the ornaments thereof, who has bound the sea by the word of thy commandment, who has shut up the deep, and sealed it by thy terrible and glorious name, whom all men fear and tremble before thy power. For the majesty of thy glory cannot be borne. And thy anger threatening towards sinners is improbable. But thy merciful promise is unmeasurable and unsearchable. For thou art the most high Elohim, of great compassion, long-suffering, very merciful, and repentest of the evil men. Thou, O Yahweh, according to thy great goodness, hast promised repentance and forgiveness to them that have sinned against thee. Now that is a prayer. It is a profound prayer. He says, of thy infinite mercies hast appointed repentance unto sinners, that they may be saved. Thou therefore, Yahweh, thou art the great Elohim of the just, hast not appointed repentance to the just. He has not called the righteous man to be saved. He has not called them to repent. Now this is the prayer of Manasseh. It's written in the Apocrypha. I'm not going to throw it away, saints. I know how we've been taught and led. I know how our traditions have taught us. I know how these charlatan lying preachers that have been raised in the whorehouses. We must know the truth today. We must be free from the shackles of this religious whore. Let me go. He says, has not appointed repentance to the just as to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He say, which have not sinned against thee, But thou hast appointed repentance unto me that am a sinner. For I have sinned above the numbers of the sand of the sea. Have we sinned like that? He said, I've sinned so much. He said, my transgressions, O Yahweh, are multiplied. My transgressions are multiplied. I am not worthy to behold and see the height of heaven for the multitude of mine iniquities. He said, I have such sin and corruption. I'm not worthy to look up at the splendor of your creation. That sounds like a heart that has been torn and that is sincere. He says, I am bowed down with many iron bands. Sin has bowed me down that I cannot lift up my head. Neither have any release. There's nothing, seem as though I can find no comforting. For my sins and my iniquity has bound me with shackles of bondage. For I have provoked thy wrath and done evil before thee. I did not thy will, neither kept I thy commandments. I have set up abominations and have multiplied offenses. Now therefore I bow the knee of my heart. Not just my knees. He said, I bow the knee of my heart. Beseech thee of your grace. I have sinned, O Yahweh. I have sinned, and I acknowledge my iniquities. Wherefore, I humbly beseech thee, forgive me, O Yahweh. Forgive me, and destroy me not with mine iniquities. I believe that's a prayer of importance. I believe we need to pray that prayer. He said, don't destroy my iniquities. He said, be not angry with me forever by reserving evil for me, neither condemn me to the lower parts of the earth. He said, for thou art the Elohim, even the Elohim that repent. And in me thou wilt show all of thy goodness, for thou wilt save me that am unworthy. He said, no, you're going to save me. I'm unworthy, but you're going to save me. Why? According to thy great mercy. That's why you're going to save me. His mercies are renewed every day. He said, therefore, will I praise thee forever, all the day of my life. For all the powers of the heavens do praise thee. And thine is the glory forever and forever. Amen. Now that is what it says in the Apocrypha. Now how can that be written in what we call the KJV? The prayer of Manasseh is not found anywhere in the book of Kings. Is not found anywhere in Chronicles. Is not found in the Psalms of David. And yet it is found. It is written. And there are things that you always intend for us to understand the impact in this hour. This is a great prayer. It is one of great travailing. Why? Because Yahweh said it is written, and it is, if it is written, then we cannot deny the power of the prophecy of that word. Because he inspired the heart of him. He dealt with his sins and his iniquities. If I had not told you where it came from, you would have thought it was from the Psalms. But that is the prayer of Manasseh. We have been so bound by the bands that he talks about. This iniquitous band of this religious practice, it binds us, saints. It binds our minds, our spirits, whereby we have not the liberty of Yahweh to move in the spirit. Where the spirit of Yahweh is, there's liberty. Where the spirit of Yahweh is liberty, not this trash that they call liberty, that you act like a monkey or something like that. That's not liberty. Where the spirit of Yahweh, there's liberty, that you can walk in the truth without any repercussions or any kind of condemnation. What a prayer that calls my heart. I've read it several times. And yet it's not found in the book that you have in your hand, nowhere. But it's written. And the scripture talks about those things that are written in the books. In the book. Undoubtedly, Yahweh intends for us to know that if it's written. And the thing of it is, it's not that we can't find the books, we can. We spend too much time trying to find something that is foolish and full of frivolity instead of trying to find the truth. I want to know the truth. I don't care if no man stands with me. I want to know the truth. And it's one thing that I do know, you that desire truth, you will stand. You will stand with me. You will walk with me. Why? Because Messiah is the hope of that truth that is revealed unto us. Without him, there is no hope in the truth. Without Yahshua, there is no hope. I don't care how much truth you learn. When you reject Him, there is no hope in that truth. He came to make known the precious, great, and terrible name of the Father. It's written in the prayer of Manasseh. It's not found anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, but it is found in the Apocrypha. It is something that is vital and necessary for this hour. You're not going to reject anything that Yahweh intends for us to know in this hour. He intends for us to study to show ourselves approved of. Do you hear that, saints? Shaul meant what he said. You study to show yourself approved of. As a workman, you're not to be ashamed. And we haven't given Yahweh that kind of time to do that. We study how to do evil, to sin, to do corrupt. You might as well say, help me, Father. We study how to respond to someone in our evil conscience and our evil thoughts. But to study to do good, to study to be quiet, we haven't learned how to do that. We haven't studied to do that. We studied how to be rebellious, how to be obstinate, but we haven't studied to be meek and studied to be quiet and studied to be kind. We haven't studied to do those things. And that's the truth. We can reject that, but it's still the truth. That what He wants us to do is to study so that we may know His truth. We may know His truth. If I read that in any whole house in America, they will not know. They will not know. They will all believe that it's from the book of Psalms. I've read that before. I've heard it, but you haven't heard this. Yet we've heard the same spirit of it. In the book of Psalms. I know it's the truth because the spirit of it is true. I know it's the truth. I know it's the truth. The spirit of it. You pray a prayer like that. You can look at David's prayers, and David prayed some prayers. And the Psalms don't tell us all the prayers that David prayed. There were over 5,000 prayers and Psalms of David. You think his life is compiled in those 152 Psalms? His life is not compiled in that. Thousands of Psalms that David wrote. Thousands. You think Yahweh is limited to the pages of this little book in your hand? We're fools if we believe that. And that's the truth. You see, it's one thing about the Spirit of Yahweh. The Holy Spirit will tell us when we read things that are of Yahweh. It will let us know this is of Him because it will testify of Him. It testifies the mighty power of Yahweh. It testifies of Him. And so I know what's real in the Apocrypha and what's not real. I know what man has done and corrupted things in that, and what man has, by the Spirit of Yahweh, He has allowed things to be written that we may know. That we may know. And once He starts us on the road, you know what we have to do, sister? Can I tell you what we believe in? I will tell you, once He starts on the path of truth, you must do one thing. You must allow the Spirit to lead you. You can't allow your corrupt mind to lead you. David Roberts can't allow his corrupt emotions to lead him. You must allow the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit, they're the sons. So he starts on the righteous path, doesn't he? Now you just allow the Spirit to lead you down the path. Don't try to question what Yahweh say and say if it's real or if it's wrong. If you have the true Spirit in you, you will digest the truth. You will buy the truth and you won't sell it. We sell truth to our flesh, to our emotions. Well, I don't know if that's the truth. The Spirit of truth will break every shackle. And I know that's the spirit of truth of Manasseh. What a prayer. He knew that Yahweh would save him. He knew what his iniquities were. They were corrupt and they were wicked. He said, I'm such a vile thing, I can't even look up at your mighty creations up at the heavens. But I'm glad to know, in the midst of all of my sins, I've built idols. I've exalted things that were pagan. It's one thing I do know, that you will show mercy unto a sinner like me that repenteth. And I'll sin against you. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't sin against you. But I'll sin against you. And you will show your mercies unto me. And that's why I cry unto you. There is no other one to cry unto. And I cry unto you, Father. I know you. I know your name. I know your stature. I know your power. And I know one thing for sure. Your mercies are abundant. You have great mercies. Oh, David didn't say it like that. He said, you got great mercies. That's all right. His mercies are great. They are abundant. They are beyond expression. That's what the great mercies of Yahweh is. It is beyond speech. You can't express the mercies of Yahweh. In our sins and our corruption, in all of our defilement, His mercies were renewed. He showed you a mercy that you had not even known. Do you know what renewed is? You have never known that. If you get something new every day, it's new every day. You buy a car today, you drive today, it's not new. The next day you get a new car. And that's what He said, His mercies are multiplied. They're so great. They're so great. They're so great that the mind can't even express that. The mercies of Almighty Yahweh. What a prayer. What a prayer. What a prayer. What a statement unto the house of Israel that we must pray. Why? Because we've built idols. We've established abominable things in our hearts. We've allowed sin to have power and to dominate our thinking, our mind, our emotions, our feelings. We allow that. We need to get before Yahweh like Manasseh and prostrate and cry out that our sins are acknowledged. Must acknowledge our sins. The prayer must be important because it talks about the prayer of Manasseh. It's not found in Kings. It's not found in Leviticus. It's not found in Chronicles. But it's found in that book that this wicked world rejects. They don't love your way. They have no heart for truth. And these lying perverts, he said the preachers are dumb dogs. That's what Scripture calls them. And I'm a preacher, we're dumb dogs. Dumb dogs lapping up vomit. Going back to the same old puke. That's what a dog does. I watch the dogs over there. I watch them puke up. I watch them gore themselves. They gore themselves like beasts. No, they don't chew the meat. They just swallow it. They swallow it. I don't care how big the piece is. They take two chews and it's gone. And I watch them because of their greed and their lust. I watch them. I stand there and watch them. And as they get so much, they will regurgitate them. You watch their bellies. You watch it. All of a sudden, everything comes up. And they lick the same stuff up again. And don't leave nothing down there. And that's what this wicked generation of corrupt charlatan men are doing. They continue to regurgitate the same puke. That's why I stench in the midst of these whorehouses. That's why they come in the way they do and they do the things they do. That's why their pagan Christmas is exalted above the truth of Yahweh. No one is pagan, but yet they lie and say it's all right. Messiah never told you to celebrate a birthday. He knew it was pagan. He knew the origins of it. He knew it was wrong. He knew that. He told us what things to remember. He told us to remember the great power that Yahweh expressed on the house of Egypt when he brought the children of Israel out. When he said unto Pharaoh, what you have spoken is going to come upon your house and all your firstborns are going to die. But you that have the blood on your doorposts, the death malach shall pass over your house. He said, don't forget that that's the kind of power I have. I kill you, your children, your cows and everything. For some reason, we don't want to think he still does that. We're fools. He will kill us. He made us. For some reason we think he got the same kind of natural heart we got. His heart is far above these little corrupt things. We need to do like Manasseh. You need to bow your heart. You bow your rusty knees and your wicked back, but you haven't bowed your heart. You haven't opened up your heart unto the truth, unto the righteous laws of Yahweh. And let Yahweh create in you a clean heart and renew the right spirit in you. That's what you need. When a man bows his heart, he'll do that. We bowed everything but our heart. Sure we have. Bow knees, but that doesn't mean anything. He didn't say, I'll bow my knees. He said, I'm going to bring my heart down low. Why? Because he knew that Yahweh saveth those that of a contrite spirit. He's near those of a broken heart, and he saved such as of a contrite spirit. He said, my spirit is contrite, I'm broken, I've sinned in a way that it is an abomination before you. I've sinned, and the only way that I can receive any kind of salvation is by your mercies. Your mercy, Yahweh, your great mercy, Father, and without that I have nothing. So he wrote that prayer down. A simple prayer. A simple prayer. A simple prayer. That we can go and pray the same prayer. We can find the prayer in the book. But by the corrupt hand of man, their wicked ways, their conniving ways, and their greed and their lust, they have came and they have corrupted much of what Yahweh has done. Sure they have. That's why Messiah can leave us comfortless. Before he ascended, he descended. He gave gifts unto men. That's what he did. And Charlemagne said, I looked for one man. Couldn't find but one. He saw the mighty, extreme power of Almighty Yahweh in the midst. You're not going to find but one man.
And that man of hope that lives in your heart, if he's not there, you don't find a man. You sisters, you have no head, because the head of every woman is a man. And if that man is not in, you have no head. You have no man unless that man is in you. The truth of that man. That the truth and the witness of that man, Messiah, he came in the power of flesh. And he walked in the strength and the mighty truth of the Father. Because he was given the command and the prophecy came forth by the Father. Well, who is he and what is his name? I want to know the one that sent forth the prophecy. That's the only way that the prophet is true, is the one that sent it forth. If that covenant is real, then I must know the one who sent it. He sealed it all by his name. When he could do nothing else, he did it by his name. When he could declare nothing else, he declared it by his name. When he could make no other oath, he made the oath by his name. That's why he sent an oath of hope and covenant of promise unto us. And he did it by his name. He sealed it with his name. He didn't do it with nothing else. He sealed it with his name. And in the sealment of that name, we got that tremendous offering unto the Father in that body of Messiah. Your sins, Manasseh's sins, our sins were in that body. And he took it to that stake. Sure he did. And that's why the one that sits high looked low. There was one looking at him, wasn't it? There was one. Then he had to turn his back because of what was in that body, didn't he? He had to do that. So don't tell me that one that saw that, don't he has no name. And don't tell me he just God. It ain't so. He sealed everything by his covenant. He sealed this prayer by putting the man's name in there that prayed the prayer. He wanted you to know who prayed the prayer, that you can find yourself in the shoes of Manasseh. That's why he did it that way, saints. As the old preacher would say, come on here, somebody. He did it just that way. He sealed this prayer by putting the man's name there. Man tried to delete it, but yet he said, you put it in that book, in the book of Kings. And yet you can't find it in Kings. I couldn't find it, saints. I searched, I couldn't find it. It's not in Kings, but it's there in the Apocrypha. No, I don't read a book to find this. I'm led by the Spirit and the law of Yahweh. I don't need no books to show me this. My heart is open. Show me, Father. I take time to seek out his path in his way. I want to know. I don't want to feature something wrong. Your blood will be required in my hand. We'll show you the truth. We'll tell you the truth. When I find out something, I want you to know. I don't want to hold it back, saints. I want you to know. I want to tell you. I'm not going to hold back a message for Shabbat today. If I got it, it's going to be preached today. If I have no fire on Shabbat, I have the fire on this night. I'm preaching like it's my last time preaching. Holding nothing back. We must know the truth. It's the truth that makes us free. The profoundness of his truth. When Manasseh understood the hope that the Father granted unto him, he knew that he was free. He said, humbly, we ought to humble ourselves in the sight of Yahweh. He said, I humbly beseech you. I bow down. He said, I'm nothing. He said, I'm worthless. And yet we think we're worth something. We think we have great value. But there's no value in your flesh. None whatsoever. Paul said, as far as my flesh, in this flesh dwelleth not one good thing. You think you're good, but you're not good. You think you're doing something good, but you're not doing something good. Anytime you think like that, you deny the power and the goodness of the Father. Anytime you think you're good, anytime you think you're nice, then you're not acknowledging what the Father has done in you. We do all things through Yahshua Messiah that gives us strength. Nothing good in your flesh. Nothing. Nothing at all. The works of the flesh. Lasciviousness, concupiscence, lies, corruption, adultery, fornicating, strife and envy. You wrestle with those things and you know you're walking in the flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're fulfilling the lust of the flesh because you're not walking in the Spirit. You began to walk in the Spirit. You will not obey the lust of the flesh. You will not cater to the lust of the flesh. You will obey the spiritual laws of Yahweh. That's why it's not much strength. They're going to seek the word, Brother Nee. They're not going to find it. They're going to seek out the man of truth. And they're not going to be able to find it. And they shall not find it. And they shall not find it. That's the truth of Yahweh. They're not going to find it. Because why? They receive not the love of the truth, brother. Folks today will not receive the love of the truth. They don't have the love of the truth in their hearts. That's why Yahweh gives them over to every kind of reprobate, every kind of vile spirit there is. You got every kind of whole house in America, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, apostolic, their whole houses, and their other whorish mother, this Catholic Jezebel. You still have her creeds, her apologetics. I won't apologize for nothing. I will speak the truth of Messiah by the power of the Spirit. When it says that in the book, that's all right. I know what corrupt men have done, but I have not corrupted the truth like other men. I have not taken the truth of Yahweh and corrupted it for my own gain or for my own self-pleasure or for my own self-righteousness. Well, there are things in there that don't correlate with each other. That's all right, but the Spirit knows all things, and I'm led by the Spirit. I'm in a world that is crooked and wicked and vile, and everything in the world is not right, but the Spirit doesn't lead me to do the things that are wrong. It leads me to do the things that are right. So it makes no difference at all. I know what things in the book, and I know what man has done in the book, but that's all right. I'm still led by the Spirit. They did Messiah wrong. They call him Beelzebub. They call him the chief of devils, but he did not do the things of the wicked. Why? He was led by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with Yahweh's anointing. He had the power of the law to govern him. And the law governed him. Why? Because the law is truth. His commandment is truth. His laws are not untruthful. Paul Shaul said, I'm carnal, sold unto death. But I know that the law is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. These men want to reject it today. His name is a spiritual thing. Every law here ought to be written in our hearts. He don't take two or three out. Every last one of them are equal. You love him with all. You love your neighbor. Upon those two commandments. Everything else hinges upon that. That's the strength of it all. And when you don't love him, no, he said love Yahweh with all your heart. My soul and all your strength. Not some God. Men love gods today. They love their pagan gods. They love their American gods. They love their black gods. They love their white gods. They love their Christmas gods. They got this big fat demon. That's what he is. He's a Saint Nick too. He's not a saint. He's a demon of hell. He robs their homes. He brings hardship, agony and pain. He brings shame, despondent. That's what that devil of hell comes to do. Old folks in depression and oppression. That's what that demon brings this time of the year. Death. That's all he brings. Don't bring no joy. Bring lies. Parents, teach your children the lies. The black folks want to teach their children Kwanzaa, a lie from hell. Somebody fed up with these white men holidays, so they establish their own. Has nothing to do with truth. That's the only one thing that has to do with truth. That's the light and the righteous revelation of Yahshua Messiah. Nothing else has to do with truth. I don't care what a black man's truth or white man's truth or Jew's truth is. No truth. Men don't seek truth. They seek lies. They seek corruption. You got to buy truth. You can't sell it. You got to buy it. You got to know it's the truth. You got to lay your soul down for it. This corrupt generation don't want to lay down anything for truth. They think they can walk in their sins and their corruption and everything is alright, lies from hell. They're not going into the kingdom. He said, I humble myself. Remember your mercies, Father. I know what you're able to do. He said, you are Yahweh according to your great goodness. You have promised repentance unto sinners and forgiveness of their sins. I bless him for that. He's promised me that if I acknowledge my sins, by his mercy and truth, he will cleanse me from all my iniquity. By mercy and truth, is all iniquity purged. And that's why he speaks truth. That's why they're not seeking truth. They're going to seek it. They're not going to be defined it. And the iniquity is going to bind them. And they're going to be like great chains of bondage. They're not going to have any liberty. They're not going to be free to move from that. And that's what this world is in this state today. All your kin folks, your relatives, say what you want to. They are pagan, they are corrupt, they are wicked, they have no righteous law or the love of Yahweh in their hearts. Period. They go to their whole houses, get churched out. That's all they're doing. You're not going into the kingdom. You understand the knowledge of His truth, you're not going in when you reject that. You're not going into the kingdom, you reject the sharp art of Yahweh. You're not going in there.
You're not going in there keeping some pagan first day, sun worship day, or the Constantine that established that for the deities of the sun. You're not going into the kingdom. He always set aside that day. He knew it would not equate with man. Man would despise it. And they despise it. They do everything on that day. The football games in America, all over the world, they do everything on that day. They're shopping, they're lust. The lust is fulfilled on Saturdays. They work all week Friday. They go out on Friday night, fulfill their lust, filling their bellies, get their joy because they got their paycheck. And on Saturday, they do everything. Wash their cars, they're gods. Clean their homes, they're gods. Have their parties, they're gods. Have their little things for their children, they're gods. It's wrong, saints. It's wrong. The Shabbat, everything stopped. In Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, everything stopped. Everything, and they worship Yahweh. They worship Yahweh. No, it's a day of worship. Not the lies that R.G. Stair said. Just a day of rest. It's a day of worship. It's a day of consecration. It's a day of purity and righteousness. That's what it is. These hypocrites say, well, I'm going to rest on the Sabbath. And they're not resting. They're not worshiping Yahweh. Then they go to the whole houses on Sunday and think they're right. They're liars. They're full of sin and hell. That's the day of the venerable Sun God constituted by Constantine. You can find it all out. But there's such an ignorant generation they don't want to know. There's such a stupid generation they don't want to know.